Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. I thought I would share the first episode of WandaVision, which is our show where we review WandaVision and talk about it. WandaVision is the Marvel TV show that is on Disney Plus. It's on its third episode that just came out. This is the first one that we're reviewing and talking about. And each week we chat about the show and just have a lively discussion about what we think of it and so forth. We do this over on our Strange New Worlds of Dimension X-1 podcast, which is a mouthful, I know. But the other thing we do over there, we do Star Trek Discovery. We've been going through all the episodes of that and having chats about those. We also play a suspense episode every week. And we do a Rod Serling 0 Hour presentation every week, as well as an episode of Dimension X or X-1 each week. So it's a fun podcast. It's kind of science fiction, superhero, adventure sort of thing, mystery a little bit. And love to see you check that podcast out. I'll have a link in the notes here to that podcast, and I'll also have a link in the notes to our WandaVision episode 2 that we put out a couple days ago. So you can listen to that as well. So I just thought I'd share this, and I hope you enjoy it.
She's a magical gal in a small town locale. He's a homie who's part machine. How will this duo fit and pull through? Oh, by sharing a love.
Hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. I am joined by my whole team, which is awesome. We have my friend Bob, my friend Jim, and my friend Matt. And we are delighted to have them. We are introducing our very first podcast about WandaVision. And WandaVision is about the characters of Scarlet Witch and Vision. Scarlet Witch's first name is Wanda. This was originally a limited issue comic series called WandaVision is sort of where they based this off of, though they've taken certain liberties with it, of course. And what happens essentially, there are two of Avengers of the Avengers, and where we left off, so that you kind of know where this thing starts from, is we saw Vision die twice. Once Wanda, the character of Scarlet Witch, kills him in Avengers Infinity Wars, and she doesn't want to kill him, but they have to try, and he's got the stone in his head, one of the Infinity Stones, and so they're like, well, if they don't let Thanos get that'll be a good thing, so they decide they have to kill him. So she kills him while holding off Thanos, and it's horrible that she has to do that and everything. They have some great scenes together in that film. Anyway, so she's tortured by that. And then, of course, Thanos has the time manipulation stone and goes back in time for just whatever, 30 seconds or a minute or whatever. And so brings Vision back. And then he goes and grabs the Infinity Stone out of his head and kills him yet again. So within about 2 minutes, she saw Vision die twice. And then, of course, she eventually gets turned into ashes along with half the population of the universe or whatever. And she comes back in the second of that two part of the Endgame. And in Endgame, when she comes back, her whole character arc is essentially, she's just really, really mad at Thanos. And so she attacks him, and he's like, I don't even know you. And he's like, well, you're gonna know me. And so she attacks him viciously. Everyone seems to come back except for we never see Vision. So we're not sure if Vision comes back or doesn't come back. And that leads us into this show. And so all of a sudden we see her and Vision together in what looks like a 1950s sitcom. It's obviously taken off of, it looks like a combination of I Love Lucy and the Dick Van Dyke Show kind of tied in together. They never explain what's going on, just all of a sudden they're in this sitcom. And I guess that's where we'll go with this episode and just talk about that piece. Also, it's you would expect it to be like an hour long, but it's sitcom length, which is about a half hour long. It's really about 20 minutes and about 7 minutes of credits, which is crazy. But I myself really enjoyed it and am curious to see where they're going with this whole thing. Let's get first impressions. Jim, what did you think?
Yeah, I was, you know, first off, it's on Disney Plus, right?
So yes.
People know where to find it. You know?
That's a good point. Thank you.
Yeah. So it's one of their MCU
right.
products that they're putting out over there. You know, and at first, when you were first describing it before, you know, it's like, oh, it's they're in a sitcom. And it's like, that's kind of a strange show to be putting on, you know,
and I would describe it as a strange show.
Yeah. But, you know, even though it was kind of them in this sitcom thing, it definitely, it had its moments and its interest to, mm-hmm. you know, where it was actually working as a story and I was actually interested in watching it. I wasn't, you know, just saying, oh, this is just stupid. I'm not going to watch this again kind of thing. You know?
Right.
So it definitely, and, you know, they have enough teasers in there or enough in there to kind of show you that, what's going on and maybe what the future is going to
yes. All is, you know, not things, as it seems.
Yeah, things are going to be a little bit different. And so that was pretty good.
I thought it was humorous that they had a commercial in it, and a commercial is for a toaster, a done by a Stark Industries toaster. And I was like, I kind of like that toaster of the way they made it. I was like, I want one of those. But anyway, so they almost sold me on a non-existent product. Bob, what did you think?
Yeah, you just that just reminded me that the toasters apparently will even warm up meatloaf, which yeah. oddly we were actually having last night. So I thought I need that toaster to warm meatloaf up.
Exactly. Meatloaf and pie. I was like, oh yeah, I want a toaster. Yeah. But that's just a toaster oven essentially. So
it took me a bit to get into it.
Yeah,
I agree with Jim. It's kind of a look back, '50s household, I guess, seen on the way TV presented it in the '50s.
Right.
I don't know if it was actually like that. Like Jim, all these little things going on with these strange occurrences where, you know, there's something more supernatural happening. I did find it kind of. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and a couple things. One is it's in black and white, the whole episode, which is interesting.
No, it's not.
And it also has
it's not.
Neighbor, the crazy neighbor comes over.
No, it's not.
What?
It's not all in black and white.
The first episode is all black and white.
No, it's not.
Okay. So anyway, the neighbor comes over, and the neighbor, which a lot of people aren't going to get, which is okay, is essentially the neighbor from the George Burns and Gracie Allen television show. And so they're kind of it's a amalgam of all these different features from different shows. I mean, lots of people have a crazy neighbor, but I'd say that's the neighbor that she seemed most like. I don't think she was styled at all on Ethel Mertz, the neighbor on I Love Lucy. It was more, like I say, the other one, and who was a common feature of all the neighbors, female neighbors of characters in this time frame, was that they trash on their husbands, which she does, and the other piece is we often never see the husband. We just hear the person trash on the husband, and that's what happened in this episode as well.
Yeah.
Matt, what did you think of the episode?
I really enjoyed it. I like the both of the sitcom parody, and, you know, of course that they're obviously building to something much bigger than that. It was one of my daughter's favorite characters from the MCU, so, you know, we were pretty excited to see this be the first of the Disney Plus shows featuring her. It'll be interesting to see where they go with it. When I first heard it was announced, I thought maybe they were taking her, you know, as a comic book fan, you know, you realize she's one of the more powerful characters in the comic books, because she can, her power in the comics is more about reality manipulation than in the MCU, where she just kind of
is more telekinesis sort of
floats things around and shoots energy beams and things.
Yeah.
And so I thought at first that that's kind of the direction that maybe they were going with this, was that she was doing this with, you know, kind of her reality manipulation, creating this reality more like in the comics. But then they kind of, the framing device at the end kind of tells you, damn it, that's probably not where they're going with this.
So, yeah. Yeah. And I, we were talking earlier before we came on, Matt, you and I, that it might have been nice to not have it that in your face at the end of what was going on, and showing somebody's watching it on TV or they're monitoring it sort of thing, to show that there's some outside manipulation. Because you're right, I think it would have been interesting to see, is this all in Wanda's mind? Is this her power that's creating this without her consciously knowing that she's warping the world around her and changing things, like her own little holodeck that she's created?
And it still could be that.
Oh yeah,
it could be that the organization that's watching her is not doing this to her so much as keeping an eye on what she's doing to the world around her.
Yeah,
or within her own mind, possibly.
And Daryl, there are no holodecks in the MCU universe.
Oh, thank you.
Full cross pollination from our other podcast. You're
mixing your genres or your
yes. Or even, I'm trying to give an example of something similar.
Okay.
But this would be generated by her, a self-generated holodeck, which would be.
You know, but I think they actually did need to do that at the end, personally, because they had to show people that this was just not, you know, some silly little kind of sitcom with these two characters that they're just going to continue on as, you know, all this a sitcom, that there's more to it, that there's, right, you know, that there's something here besides just, you know, a sitcom that they're going to have to keep people watching.
Even those people watching could be part of the reality then too.
Yeah.
You just don't know at the end what exactly is the reality. Our reality.
And I'm sure all of you were geeking out over the little statue that was of the Wizard, which is a character in the Marvel Universe who was at some point thought to be her father, but it didn't go that way. So, yeah, I don't know if anybody noticed that. but it was there. And so I'm like, man, they go for the obscure stuff in this stuff. But anyway.
Well, it doesn't take much to just, you know, just throw in some weird little Easter eggs like that. And it builds interest. And, you know, people are like, it's like, oh, yeah, I saw that. Did you see that? And then, you know, people have to go back and rewatch it or something to see it.
Yeah. And just so you know, I didn't see it either. I saw an article that talked about it and I was like, oh, okay. But yeah, it talked about all the different Easter eggs, and that was one of them. So it sounds like generally we're in agreement that looks like it could be a good series going forward, at least kept us interested enough that we want to keep watching. They did release the first two episodes, which is good. I think a smart move on their parts to let us experience two episodes of it. Matt, you were going to say something?
I was going to say one little subtle thing that's there that only comic book readers, and actually more modern comic book readers, would pick up on so far. The logo that's showed up a couple of times, once in the next episode and then there at the very end, the organization that's watching her is an organization called SWORD, which is a kind of an off-world version of SHIELD. Everybody should be familiar with SHIELD from the movies. But
everybody, I'm sure, is familiar with SHIELD.
If they're listening,
if they're watching this, they probably are.
I was talking to my dad the other day, who's 94, about SHIELD, and boy, he was, yeah. Anyway, go ahead, Matt.
Everyone listening to an MCU podcast should be familiar with SHIELD. I'm sorry, I was imprecise there. I don't think my mom has any idea what SHIELD is, other than, you know, something that knights use.
That it's Blue Shield and it's next to a blue cross.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, Sword is a kind of an off-world equivalent of Shield, and just wanted to point out that this is older now, but from the probably the best non-Chris Claremont run of the X-Men, if you haven't read that, if you're a comic book fan, Astonishing X-Men by Joss Whedon.
Yes.
Who's also an MCU writer. Some of the best X-Men comics, other than, you know, the Claremont years, I'd say this is my favorite, absolute favorite run of the X-Men. Go read it.
Yes.
That's my pitch.
Well, he also, of course, directed the first Avengers movie, correct?
Yes.
I really love the Claremont years myself.
Yeah.
I have no idea what Matt's talking about. So.
Yeah, it's all right, Bob. Levels of geekdom, and Matt goes like pins the needle on nerdism. That's okay.
Only at lower levels of the geekdom.
Yeah, but as a fan, and I know you're a fan from back in the day in the Claremont years, and so is Joss Whedon. Joss, there's a lot of homage to things that happened in the Claremont years in that run of X-Men, and it's worth you checking out if you like Claremont X-Men. So did Joss, obviously, and so it's a really good read.
Just to clarify, Claremont X-Men, Chris Claremont was the writer that originally wrote the X-Men. That he didn't write the very first issue of the thing. It was a giant size written by Len Wayne, right? Or is it, how do you say that? Anyway, so that introduced us to, like, brought over Wolverine and all the characters, Nightcrawler and Colossus and all those folks. And then Chris Claremont took over that run for the next 35 issues and had 42 issues, and it had it introduced us to the X-Men that you know from the movies. And so that's why the Chris Claremont run is considered to be the classic piece that introduces us to the new X-Men and the movie type X-Men.
Yeah, and in issue 37 on the second pane, you'll notice that they had some stuff there that kind of ties into this. So if you have a chance, search for that and look at it, and then it's kind of a pretty interesting Easter egg if you look at it.
Most people. That's great.
Issue 37, second page.
Well, it'd be 137. It actually was in the 100s, but 137 is, you nailed the classic issue. That is the issue where Jean Grey dies, and it's a very famous issue that very controversial. And there you go.
Look at that second page.
Yeah, that's second page of that issue. Sure. All right, then. I think that's good for this podcast. Anything else we want to say about this? I know. Since this is the first one, let's talk just about about the concept. Do we think it's a good idea that they're creating series out of this? Some of the things online are saying, you know, is it going to detract from the movies and less people are going to see the movies, just saying I can just watch it at home? I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think a good idea, not a good idea?
I think it's a good idea. I mean, you know, especially if they keep them more compartmentalized, you know, where, you know, it's just these two, you know, maybe one other person, something like that, then they can have this story about whatever's going on with them, and then have bigger, more action adventure, you know, type things with the movies. But
yes,
you know, keep these a little closer. For you. It gives them content, you're able to see it without having to wait, you know, 2-3 years, one movie, or a couple of years for a movie kind of thing.
And this one is certainly different enough from the films to not, when they're going episodically, where each episode is not a different genre necessarily, because they were still both sitcoms and probably will continue to be sitcoms for at least a while. They're each episode's different enough that, you know, it stands out, and it's not like, oh, this is just a movie chopped up into bits. It's
much more episodic and right. and different in that style. So I think there's plenty of room. I mean, the Marvel universe is enormous. I mean, just like, you know, Disney's doing with Star Wars, there's plenty of room for storytelling in different styles. So
agreed.
I don't think it's going to detract from the main arcs of the movies.
I think if anything, it highlights the movies and makes you get a little deeper into the characters. They can't, you know, especially like Avengers where you have multiple characters, you can't get deep into every single character. I mean, how much really do we know about, well, Hawkeye, Scarlet Witch, Vision? I mean, we spend the time with Iron Man and Captain America and so forth. The other one that stands out to me that I would love to see a series of, and they haven't talked at all about it other than there's going to be a She-Hulk series, but they can't do a standalone Hulk movie because the rights are still tied up, and so they can use him in Avengers, but they can't create his own movie. And that's why they tried to shoehorn him into the last Thor movie to give him his character a little more to do. But I would love it if they could, and I don't know, maybe they're tied up with the same legal thing and they can't do a Hulk series, but I would love a little Hulk series. It's kind of an homage to the 1970s Hulk where he's traveling around the country or whatever and helping people out. And the main focus is David Banner. And then a little bit of it goes on. Well, Bruce Banner, it's as he's called in the current incarnation. And then, you know, you see him turn into a Hulk at the end of each episode or whatever. I think could be fun little mini series to do. I'm excited about all the different mini series coming up, but go ahead, Jim.
They could get Lou Ferrigno to come back.
Yeah. Well, have Lou be like one of the other bad guys or something that, and have the Hulk take on the Hulk essentially. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that, excuse me. I would think that a Hulk series would be difficult in that I think it would just be seen as a reboot of,
yes,
you know, the Hulk and you know, I mean, they could do it, but it rather than something new, it would just be seen as
right. a reboot.
There's so many characters.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have done it early on. I mean, I'm just saying at some point they may, you know, and I don't even know if they could talk the actor into doing, I mean, some of the actors are probably going, I don't do television series, I just do movies. But I think more and more there's less stigma about doing one of these.
Oh, and they're doing the streaming services like crazy now. I mean, you yeah. see, you know, big name stars that, you know, only did movies and stuff, and now they're coming out with, you know, Netflix series. And
yeah,
Netflix
George and Clooney just came out with Netflix.
And, you know, all sorts of things like that you would have never seen before. I think they kind of see that things are moving towards streaming and stuff. And
yeah.
I'm not sure I would get into another Hulk series. I mean, there's so many other characters they could highlight.
Right.
Well, as a kid that grew up in the 70s, it's kind of fun for a couple of episodes, but this is a nostalgia piece to have them do. They could go back to the years he was on the run between Hulk movies and the Avengers.
Oh, yeah.
Like that, because I mean, he ends up in Central America somewhere helping people or whatever, you know, trying to stay off the grid. And, you know, just an occasional Hulk, but tries not to. And, but yeah, I think it's interesting for nostalgia, but not necessarily is it doing anything, it's not doing anything new with the character that hasn't been done or. And what have you?
Maybe I never got into the character. Maybe that's why. I just think there's a lot of other characters that could be explored.
Yeah.
He basically just gets at the end. It's kind of like, yeah, he just gets mad. The episode turns into Hulk.
Yeah. It's basically, it's like, oh, he's normal. There's some kind of injustice or some kind of thing. Somebody attacking him. He gets mad. He breaks. He saves the day and
then heads ahead off to another town. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of thing.
I mean, it was kind of an interesting for the 70s to come up with it. I mean, I'm sure they were like, well, how can we do a Hulk TV series? Well, let's do the Hulk. Let's grab the fugitive format of the fugitive television series where he
traveled for Kung Fu. Kung Fu, that whole genre, he settles some kind of injustice with whatever
he's traveling loner, on to the next thing that's being pursued or chased by people, and so it has to keep moving on.
It's like the A-Team with superpower.
So I think you guys are all right. I think that these add to, don't detract from the movies, and folks will still want to see the movies. In fact, I think after this whole COVID thing's over with, I think people are just going to pour back into theaters because they haven't had that experience in a long time. And I think they're going to want to get back to that. I think they're going to have, this year was, I think, the lowest year on record of ticket sales and things for movies, obviously.
Yeah. And, surprise, surprise.
Yeah. Right. Right. But I think whenever it gets back to normal, that next couple, 3 years are going to be like the highest attendance in movies in decades, probably, with how many people are going to go.
You don't think some people have kind of gotten used to getting their stuff different ways now? I mean, things were already moving towards streaming and those kinds of services. And now that it has really been pushing that way and no movie theaters, I mean, you know, there'll be still big blockbusters, but I don't know that.
I think though the experience to me, like even with the surround on and the, you know, 65 inch TV, it still doesn't have the, like the impact of the theater.
Yes,
you know, because you only have 65 inch television. What are you in 1974? Come on, Bob, at least an 80 inch, 100 inch is best.
Jeez.
I had to expand my house because one wall wasn't big enough, so I had to move the wall 2 feet over.
Jim with his 400 inch screen, yes.
the 10,000 speakers at the 10 trillion watts, the whole room shakes in the theater.
Yeah.
It's something that the experience is. I wouldn't want to watch every movie in the theater because some of us don't. But I think the impact, you know, that when you're in the theater is different than sitting in your living room.
Yeah,
that's just
my opinion.
Yep. Then again, I'm old, so.
So I guess we'll see. I mean, I can totally see Jim be right and this be like the nail in the coffin of the theaters and they never quite get back to what they were. I could also see, and that's what I think it's going to be, the opposite, which is complete.
Because now you have streaming on everything. You know, people stream on their phones. Yeah. They stream on their iPads. They stream on their TVs. They stream, you know, so it's like streaming is everywhere. They watch it wherever, whenever they want.
But do you want to watch Avengers on a phone or on the big screen? I think people want to watch them on the big screen in the theater.
I put my 3D reality goggles on and I get immersed into the movie.
You just need 3D immersive sound in your headphones.
That's right.
Yeah.
I stand in the closet and I put the speakers, two speakers in the closet, and I stand in there with my headphones on in a closet. So I'm really immersed in it.
Well, I thought I would tell folks because I was curious about this, and it's a few places on the internet, but it's kind of hard to find sometimes. Essentially, what's going to happen now is you're going to have, like I say, there's 9 episodes of WandaVision. They've shown the first 2. You're going to get an episode per week for the next, I guess that'd be 7 weeks. Then there's going to be about, it's either 2 or 3 weeks. I can't remember. I want to say 2 weeks. And then they're going to have the Winter Soldier and the Falcon series that's going to go, and that'll run for episode a week for a couple months, and then they're going to have 3 weeks off, and then they'll have Loki's series running. So we're essentially going to have a pretty, all the way up until close to midsummer, we'll have kind of one series after another with these little tiny breaks in between. Which is unique because we haven't had a Marvel. This is the very first Marvel series. I thought this was an excellent one to start with. I think it establishes we're going to do something different. We're going to do something. We're on television for the first time. We're going to do something with the television format and play with that a little bit and do an homage to old television shows. I think it's a great piece. Because if it was just an adventure with the two of them that seemed very reminiscent of what happens, you know, in Winter Soldier, in the regular Marvel Universe, I think you just go, oh, okay, this just seems smaller scale. In this way, we see something completely different and like, oh, I don't think we'd ever see this at a Marvel movie. This is something completely different.
Yeah, and that's what they have to do. I think that's the line that they have to ride, because if they make it too much like some movie and action and everything else like that, then I don't know that that would work in the TV environment, and then it would detract from the movies, and so I don't think it's going to work. And I like that they are, you know, all of these people that they are concentrating on for these series are not the big names. You know, these are kind of the B players that aren't as well known and haven't been covered as much in all of the movies that have been out so far. So
definitely. I mean, it's obvious that they're covering they're bringing in new players. Like, they're having a Moon Knight series at some point that we've, of course, never seen Moon Knight with it. Like I said, She-Hulk that we've never seen that they're going to be introducing. Plus, they're doing the smaller characters that don't have their own films, the Vision, Scarlet Witch, the Winter Soldier, Falcon, Loki, of course. So just it gives them a chance to focus. And Loki's interesting because it gives them a chance to focus on a villain as his own series, and that's interesting as well. Who knows if we're going to eventually see a Doctor Doom miniseries or who knows what. The one thing I will say, though, is what we're saying is so refreshing about this show and so different about this show. It'll be interesting to see what they do with Winter Soldier and Falcon, because that from the previews looks like it's more just a smaller scale movie piece that could look like it could have been a movie, but they're making it into a series. So we'll see if that's going to be different somehow, or whether it's going to be like a smaller movie. Who knows? Maybe they try both. Maybe they try things that are kind of offbeat and wild, and then they try some things that are more in their wheelhouse, their normal wheelhouse, and just see how they play. I don't know. Anyway, anything else before we move on? Good, gentlemen. All right. Well, like we say, if you haven't watched WandaVision, you should have, because we just spoiled the heck out of it. We will see you guys next time for the second episode of WandaVision, and which aired the same time. They aired one and two together. So, but we're going to do them as two separate podcasts, because that's what we do. Anyway, have a great week, everybody, and enjoy your Disney Plus. And if you don't have it, it's fairly inexpensive to get.
Down in the comments is Daryl's username and password, so just go ahead and log in, watch it. You'll be good.
No, that will not be happening. Get it for yourself. Ta-ta.